With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's a new season for Pitt soccer, men's and women's, and we are thrilled to be covering it right here on Olympic Gold and Blue on the Pitt Talk Network. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Corey Cohen, in this first ever soccer-themed episode of Olympic Gold and Blue on the Pitt Talk Network. And I am thrilled to be welcoming in Dominic Campbell of Pittsburgh Sports Now and Pittsburgh Soccer Now, a man who covers both Pitt men's and women's soccer, to talk about these two teams. Dominic, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thanks, Corey. Happy to be here.
So we're going to be talking about both men's and women's basketball. We're going to start with the men, then move on to the women. So last year with the men's soccer team, they had a phenomenal season. They've been great for years. They beat number one Kentucky in Lexington en route to the College Cup, the Final Four, where they lost to Indiana 2-0. It was a difficult loss, but the fact that Pitt made a Final Four is incredible. They did it in volleyball and in soccer all in the same time span. So coming off of last year's team, they had a sensational squad last year. What is it that changed from last year to this year? What did they lose from last year's team that might hurt them? And then perhaps did they gain some significant players?
Well, they lost about seven starters from last year. I mean, players like Jackson Maltu, who had the most minutes ever played for the program in midfield, very stalwart player, great defensive midfielder, really was just a leader on the team. Valentin Noel, fantastic attacking midfielder, also plays a forward, somewhat of a striker. He scored that winning goal in the Elite Eight to put them in the College Cup, so he'll be missed. And Bertrand Jacquesson, a left winger or just a winger in general, really incredibly fast, great on the ball, and he scored some great goals as well throughout his Pitt career. And those three players will especially be missed for the Pitt team. What did they gain? Well, they got a lot of new players. I think they have about 16, 17 new players on the team. A few new French kids that Jay seems to like a lot. And Abdoulaye Touré and Raphael Silly, they're both freshmen. You have Fabian Grau, who's German. He's 25, but is listed as a grad student. So he's played in Germany's men's league. So very strong defender. You have other players like Albert Thorsen, Norwegian, who Jay Vidovich is incredibly high on. He can work as a striker, but also on both left and right wing. So he's incredibly very talented. He scored the first goal of the season for Pitt against Penn State in a great match, like I guess we'll talk about. And some other players I think people should know. I mean, the players that come back from last year, Jackson Gilman, a fantastic freshman last year. He's a sophomore now. He'll be a leader on that defensive line as a or just defensive back four as a center back. Philip Markovic, one of the best midfielders in the country, incredible first touch, incredible vision. He'll be leading in the midfield. And Mikey Sullivan, a former Whippeel player, played for Deer Lakes and is now in his second season. He'll be starting a lot. He's going to be assuming that Jackson Multi role as a defensive midfielder. I like him more in the attack, but if Jay believes he can assume that role as Jackson Multi did, then I'm assuming he knows best because Giovinovich has built a great program here. And I guess Mateo Maifo, he's a left back. He did pretty well last year filling in after Mohamed Abolnadi went down for the season in late September. So he's another player that brings back experience. So those four players that I just spoke about are the players that have experience. And there's a lot of other players that are going to come in and fill different roles, but just the three games in, it's still interesting to see how everything's playing out.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you talk about Jay Vidovich, who, as you said, he's really built an incredible program. When he was hired, he was touted as a great hire. And it's been kind of amazing because he really has lived up to the hype and the reputation of when he was hired, that he built this program up to not just one great year, but consistency. Can you talk about some of, really the accomplishment that he's been able to do by turning Pitt, a program that hasn't had a long history of success in men's soccer and not necessarily a hotbed for recruiting, that he's turned this program into a consistent dominant force in NCAA men's soccer?
Yeah, Jay Vidovich is incredibly a hire by beloved Pitt athletic director Scott Barnes. I'm pretty sure fans love him very well.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. When he left, I think everyone, obviously Kevin Stallings, that's the number one thing. But yeah, I do think everyone at the time said he did get one thing right, and that was Jay Vidovich. It was a great hire.
Yeah, I mean, Jay's been great. He was incredibly successful during his time at Wake Forest, has won a national title there, and numerous college cups, Elite Eights, you name it there. And he came to Pitt and had an even tougher challenge. He had to build a program that had never really seen success ever. They hadn't won an ACC game until he came in. It still took him a second season to get that win. But really just taking time and building a process, he brought in players like Edward Kiza and Alexander Dexter to start that process of getting the team competitive in that 2017 season. Then in 2018, they improved. And then 2019, you see that breakthrough. They make it to the NCAA tournament for the first time in, I think, 54 years. And 1965 was the last time they had prior to that. So
quite a long drought.
Yeah. So he's already the best coach by a mile in Pittman soccer history. And he has also been able to get a lot of Whippeel players as well. I mean, he brought Josh Lucchini as a grad transfer from Lehigh, who he originally played at North Allegheny. We just spoke about Michael Sullivan, played for Deer Lakes, as I just said, and Eben McIntyre is another player, played for Charleroi. It's a bit south of Allegheny County, a bit out up the way there, but it is a Whippeel school. He was incredible there, and he's been playing as a winger and also in defense, so another player to look out for, not to do that. But, I mean, Jay Vidovich has just had a great support staff, and he's had a great supporting cast with players. He's been able to tell them to believe in what he wants to see with this program, and obviously with three straight Elite Eights and two College Cups in the last three seasons, I think it's obvious to see what he's achieved here.
It's really been incredible. It's really been incredible. Dom, if you could narrow it down, and I know this is difficult, to one or two players that you think will be the linchpin, will be the difference makers for this year, the player or players who could lead this team to potentially a national championship, who would that one, maybe two players be?
Well, it's got to be Filip Mrkovic. I mean, he's a leader, and in that game against Penn State, I don't know if we'll talk about it yet, but we haven't talked about it yet, but he got a red card. It was a bit silly to me that they gave him one, even though everyone else was already a part of the big skirmish. But I mean, he's a leader. He's so good on the ball. It's incredible to watch. But if he can get this team going offensively and do pretty decently defensively, he's going to be one of those players you have to think that is going to be the main reason they make it there, I think. But like last year, the reason they made it there was really defensively. I mean, if you look through the games, they rarely give up many goals. They had a lot of games where they drew, but once it got to November, they were able to attack pretty well and then also defend well enough that, the only game they didn't defend, I guess, great was that Indiana game. But, I mean, you still made it to the College Cup. You can't be mad about a season like that after, what Pitt has never achieved before. So, I'll take a college.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
But yeah, I mean, it's got to be Filip Mrkovic. If he's healthy and he's ready to go, he's the best player in this team. It's not really close, I don't think.
Fantastic. So talking early this season, it's been very early. This is just the very beginning of September now. Pitt, as we're recording this, 1-1-1. They had a draw against Penn State in front of a massive crowd. And then most recently, they went on the road in Washington, D.C. at Georgetown, and they lost. So not the ideal start that they were hoping for when you've got Penn State, Georgetown on the schedule, and you start 1-1-1, obviously difficult competition. But can you talk about what you've seen so far from this team challenging themselves early and getting out of the gate to this record?
They're still figuring things out, I think. And sort of an interesting factoid, I guess not a nice one, but they gave up 4 goals today, which is the first time they gave them that many goals since they gave up 5 goals to Georgetown in 2019, and Georgetown ended up winning the national title. But my point being is defensively, Pitt's been very good, and that's one of the main reasons why they've been so good the past 3 seasons. And so I think they need to figure out things a bit more defensively, and also just figuring out, players got to figure out the roles. I think Jay's sort of looking at what players are doing, and even though you can say, oh, this player's really good, how they perform in the team and how they do in games is a lot different than like what you might envision is. So it's still early, and it's good that Pitt's playing good teams. I think as much as a 4-1 loss at Georgetown isn't good, Georgetown's one of the best teams at home in the country. So you'll take a big loss like that to, you know, get you back down to earth and keep you sort of looking at what the team needs. And I think that, I mean, they got Marshall next week, and they got a really good non-conference schedule. And then the ACC, of course, Wake Forest on Saturday next week. So, I mean, they're really going to have to figure things out sooner rather than later, I think. But they're still a good team. They got players there. It's just if they can figure it out, I think they'll be good. But they got to figure it out, I suppose, you'd hope earlier rather than, like, too late.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the fact that looking at the schedule, they just started. They played 3 matches, and right around the corner is the ACC schedule. So it definitely doesn't give them much time. Normally, in a college soccer season, you kind of want to give yourself more time, and you can give yourself more time to schedule difficult non-conference opponents, figure things out, try different things, have the new players adjust. In this case, it really seems like they've got a very small window. Not that if you lose one ACC match, it's the end of the road, but obviously once you get into conference play, those games matter that extra bit more. And they don't have much time until they head into that and the games really start counting.
Yeah, I mean, that Penn State game was incredible. The atmosphere was brilliant. Really showed what a great rivalry those two schools have, despite them not having won football for some reason. Not against
that. I mean, that's very different.
Yeah, the players are kicking each other and really going at it. It meant a lot. I think it meant a lot to the fans and the players. And Jay was like, yeah, we need to be doing this. He told me as well, prior to the season, they wanted to do a Western Backyard Brawl again. They would have played in Morgantown, but because of scheduling issues, it didn't work. So having a big rivalry like that, throwing those freshmen and those new international players like straight into the fire, it's just like baptizing them into college soccer. And
it's one heck of a first ever match.
But I think that's really, really important, because if you can do that, the ACC games, while those teams are very good, I think you'll be ready for those kind of environments and those kind of teams. So I mean, they did play Howard on Monday, and they beat them 5-0, which is, you know, fine. Everyone gets to play, and you get to see different things. But the games against Penn State and Georgetown are going to, and Marshall on Tuesday, are going to be really, really beneficial as Pitt sort of creeps into that AC schedule full time, starting against Wake Forest. I mean, they'll have some non-conference games interspersed throughout the rest of the schedule, but mostly those Friday night games and Saturday, Friday night games, they'll be playing a big ACC opponent. So big games coming forward.
You see a phenomenal men's soccer conference, so no easy opponents in that one. It's going to be really interesting to see. We're going to take a very quick break, hear a word from our sponsors, and be back in just a moment to talk about Pitt women's soccer. Back in a second.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
And that is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, we are back. In a second, we'll talk about Pitt Women's Soccer. First, I want to tell you about an exciting contest Fans First Sports Network is running. Are you a fan of an NFL team? Would you love to attend your favorite team's Week 1 game? If so, you are in luck. Fans First Sports Network is giving away 4 free tickets to the Week 1 NFL game of your choice, up to $5,000. The rules to enter are simple. You go to contest.fansfirstsports.com and fill out the appropriate information, and that's it. Once you've done that, you've been officially entered to win the 4 free tickets to any Week 1 NFL game. Perhaps Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh? Just saying. Could be great. What are you waiting for? Go enter for your shot at seeing your favorite team in action. The contest ends on September 4th. So we are here with Dominic Campbell of Pittsburgh Sports Now and Pittsburgh Soccer Now. Dom, I want to talk about this Pitt women's soccer program, a team that they haven't quite gotten to the College Cup as the men's soccer team did last year. But this is another program that has been incredibly built up in recent years from what was not much of a program at all to now a very good one of the top programs in the country, consistently ranked. For looking at last year, they made it to the NCAA tournament. They lost to fifth ranked Florida State in Tallahassee in the Sweet 16. That ended their season. But since then, they've had an interesting offseason. Before we get to the differences in terms of the players from last year, let's talk about something that changed a little bit in the offseason. And that is the incredible experience that head coach Randy Waldrum had down at the World Cup. Let's talk about that. I mean, what a run that he had.
I mean, it was just wild even before the World Cup started. I mean, fighting with the Nigerian Football Federation about trying to get his players better pay, and also not just him, but him to get paid, and for the players to have better facilities and better just training, and looking at how other countries are doing better by their players. And I mean, it's really just highlighting a problem within women's soccer about the lack of investment. And I'm glad that Randy stood by himself and the players stood by him and people stood by him, because he was right. At the end of the day, like, you need this investment. And then he took that camaraderie with his players into the World Cup, and they did really well. I mean, they made that round of 16. They beat Australia on their own turf. I mean,
that was incredible.
Big, big win. And like, they drew against Canada, and then that's a big, they knocked Canada out of the World Cup, and they also drew against Ireland. It's not easy games, and they all went in those games, and he got those results and took England to the final brink. They took them to penalties, and they were so close, and just unfortunately didn't make it further. But they were very, very good, very good defensively. I thought they were going to be better on the attack, but defensively they were really good. They had they had two clean sheets, or maybe three, but it was they were really great defensively. And I think that really just shows you how good Randy Waldrum is as a head coach, getting his players to buy in quickly, because international breaks are not very long. Even the World Cup, it's still getting a lot of new players used to each other and just trying to get them ready to go. And he really did that. And Nigerian, he went from some of a pariah to a Nigerian soccer hero, I guess. I mean, the fans love him. And if he stays around there, I think he could really do well and maybe win an African Cup of Nations. I think he could do really, really great things there in Nigeria if he stays.
It was really cool. So he took that job a couple years ago, and it was not a full-time job. A lot of national team coaches, that's their only coaching job, even though the national team does not play year-round. They have international breaks and certain spurts where they play. But in his case, he was pulling double duty. He was still the head coach of Pitt Women's Soccer, and on the international breaks and, you know, going off to coach the Nigerian national team, and then obviously all that goes into that throughout the year. And I think there were a lot of people who were doubting him, who were questioning him. And then, as you said, he sort of got into it with the Nigerian Federation by the fact that they were not supporting their women's soccer team and their women's soccer players and their women's soccer coaching staff and all of that. And I think even going into this World Cup, there was a lot of skepticism. I think the Federation was probably looking for a reason to get rid of him and clean house. And he really shocked the world in that very first match. It just an incredible job. And as you said, in that group stage, they finished on top of Ireland, a very good team. And they finished on top of Canada, one of the best teams in the world in women's soccer. Christine Sinclair was knocked out in the group stage by Nigeria. It's absolutely incredible. A team that was picked to finish third, if not fourth in the group. And they finished second. And then, as you said, in that first round of the knockout stage, they nearly knocked out England, team that went all the way to the end. So, I mean, one heck of a job from Randy Waldrum. As you said, it's unclear if he'll stay there or not, but if he does, I mean, he really made a mark. No matter what he does, he made his mark in that World Cup. It was really a phenomenal showing from him and from the Nigerian national team.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I think, almost a culmination of what he's been able to achieve in the women's soccer game. I mean, he's been coaching for so long, like since the late 70s, early 80s, he's coached women's and men's teams, and at the same time at some points, I mean, but he's also on the international stage. He was with Trinidad and Tobago, almost got them into the World Cup. That would have been an incredible feat there, but wasn't able to do that. And he wanted to be Nigerian national coach earlier in his career. I remember interviewing him prior to taking the head coaching job, not prior, but once he took the head coaching job in 2018, he spoke to me about wanting to be Nigerian head coach. So him being able to achieve that and also do so well at the World Cup, I mean, I think the only thing left for him to achieve, if he could actually win a World Cup, I think he would just be one of the best coaches ever in the women's game, but especially with Nigeria. But I mean, that's such a big ask, but I think he always wants to shoot for the top. And I think he's done so well at the women's college game. I think him doing well in the national stage just sort of validates how great of a head coach he's been for the last 30, 40 years at this level.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the team he's gotten now in terms of club, and that is the Pitt women's soccer team. So I mentioned last year that they made it to the Sweet 16, lost in the NCAA tournament. What has changed? What are maybe some of the players that they might have lost from last year, but also maybe some key additions?
They really haven't lost a lot. I think we're looking more at their additions, really. I think the fact that Amanda West is back, probably the best player in Pitt women's soccer history. She already has the most goals, so... I mean, she's in her
pretty
fifth
big, yeah.
in the last season, and she scored two goals last night against Duquesne in a 6-1 win. I spoke to her yesterday. She was a bit frustrated with not scoring as many goals so far, and she's got four in four games this season. You can already see how competitive she really is and how far she wants to go. I can't imagine not seeing her at the professional level. She's such a great player, and it's really, I think, just her, and then also Sarah Shapansky has been great this season. On the wing, and Landy Mertz as well, and Samia Fieri. Those are players, like, the Pitt attack is brilliant. They're such a good attacking team that I can't imagine them not scoring a lot of goals, even against ACC teams. I mean, we talk about the men's side having a good ACC conference. I mean, the women's side might be even better. So, yeah, it's incredibly exciting to see this team attacking. I think defensively, they're pretty stout. They really don't give up many chances for the most part. I mean, granted, they haven't played the best non-conference opponents, but I mean, they did take on Buffalo and they did pretty well against them, a team they beat in the first round of the NCAA tournament last season on the road in the opening game this season. I'm trying to think of what else, but yeah, I mean, I think the one player we have to look at is Deborah Abuidun, who is on the Nigerian national team that Randy Waldrum brought from Nigeria to play for Pitt. She's a freshman. She scored two goals last night as well. Really great goals. She's very technical and has great vision. Like Randy told me that as well, but it's great to see her score. So, I mean, it seems like anybody in this team can score. I mean, I don't understand how good they all are, but that's the thing I'm looking at going forward. And I think Pitt fans should be as well, is just how good of an attacking team this is and how good they are at scoring goals. I think is going to be the difference between them making it further in the NCAA tournament or not this season.
Yeah. And you talk about the ACC and how great it is. It really is phenomenal when it comes to women's soccer. When you talk about the best programs, not just right now, but in recent history, these programs that have become synonymous with NCAA women's soccer, and you're talking about Florida State, you're talking about North Carolina, you're talking about Duke, you're talking about Virginia, Clemson has gotten really great, Notre Dame has gotten great, obviously Pitt now in the mix. That's not even counting Stanford, arguably the best program in women's college soccer that's going to be coming to the ACC. So it's an incredibly difficult task, but as you said, this is a really deep team. And you mentioned Amanda West. As you said, you can't really make a case against her being the best player in the history of the program. I was going to say you can make a case for her. You really can't make a case against it. How far do you think she can go in terms of what she can achieve in college in this her last year, and then moving forward, as you mentioned, a player that, that could very possibly go pro, play in the NWSL and really succeed at the professional level as well.
I mean, she's so talented. I think one of my favorite aspects about her is how she's not afraid to take anybody on and will just like run straight out of defense. And even for talented strikers and forwards and wingers, attackers, they might be a little, you know, hesitant about just straight up running at someone, but she's very strong. She's pretty good for her size. She's 5'5", 5'6". So pretty strong in that area. She knows how to use her body pretty well. I know that season ending injury last year was really disappointing, at least for her, from her perspective. She's spoken about how disappointing it was, and just trying to now get over that mentally and just keep playing at a high level as she did prior to that. So I think as long as she stays healthy, I mean, I would say the sky's the limit. I know that's kind of cliche, but I mean, she really does have the talent to go. She's good at scoring, can shoot really well, knows where to be on the pitch. It's kind of everything you need out of a striker. So I don't think there's really anything in her game that's really, there's a weakness really.
Yeah, you really, as you said, it's cliche, but you really cannot put a cap on what she can accomplish. She is tremendously talented. Pitt's been lucky to have her for the last few years and is very lucky to get her for one more. So let's talk about the early part of this season. Pitt women's soccer, now they haven't played the same level of competition that the men's soccer has played, but they've come out of the gate incredibly strong. 5-0 record to start. A lot of these games have been blowouts. As you mentioned, the goals have just been flying. So what have you seen from this team in their first five matches?
Yeah, I think I've kind of spoken on already just how good of attacking they really are. I know, like I said, that, you know, that they are 5-0. They haven't played maybe the best teams, but I mean, they have the players who go and score goals, and they've just done just that. I mean, they just sort of suffocate teams with how fast they can just get on the break, and also just how more talented the players are. I think even the game against Duquesne, even though Duquesne didn't play terribly, a few mistakes here and there, Pitt is just able to quickly take advantage of that and go forward and just score goals. I mean, that's what makes a really good team. How to separate yourself from being a decent team and a great team. It's just being able to quickly take advantage of other teams' mistakes and being able to quickly set yourself up, go and attack and go score goals. And Pitt's been able to do that this year really well. They have very few weaknesses. The only weakness I've seen from them is just set pieces. Randy's been a bit annoyed with that, but I mean, they came after being up 2-1 last night, they scored four goals in the second half, really hammered it home that they need to be a bit better. And I think they're really holding themselves to a really high standard. And I think the Sweet 16 is almost a minimum for them. They really want to reach that Elite Eight College Cup sort of territory. And I think, again, everybody stays healthy, players stay good. They have the veterans, they have the new incomers that are going to be able to build this team going forward. And I think it's going to be a great season for anyone that's watching Pitt soccer. And it's been good so far, obviously.
Well, it's really exciting. Again, so far they're undefeated. Their last two matches, they've won by a grand total of 10 goals cumulatively. It's been a really thrilling beginning to the season, and it should be great moving forward. Pitt men's soccer, as we're recording this, ranked 8th in the country. Pitt women's soccer ranked 21st in the country. To have both teams ranked and have it be, again, fairly consistent over the last few years that these have been two of the better teams in the nation, it's really special what's been accomplished when it comes to Pitt soccer, men's and women's, in these last few years. I think, I don't know if some fans aren't paying attention, or maybe they pay attention just during the NCAA tournament, but these are two programs that have been incredibly successful in recent years. And I think fans cannot take it for granted how special it is to have both the men's and women's teams at this level of success.
Yeah. I mean, Pitt Athletics was kind of a dumpster fire for so long prior to, I mean, really the last 5-6 years, they really just were not good at anything besides football and men's basketball. And what we saw at men's basketball was for the last few seasons there, thankfully, a bit better. The thing is, like, it was either those two teams are the only teams that mattered. And I get, to some extent, most fans only care about those two programs. But in reality, a good athletics program in the ACC cares about, well, everything. You can't just be bad at a sport and be like, this is okay. And clearly Heather Lake has shown that she's not okay with that, because she fired 3 head coaches last season. I mean, like, sometimes things aren't always going to work out, but you have to be able to make changes quickly and always try to make the best hire if you can. I think she's done that. She's also supported head coaches with things they needed, you know, giving extensions to Narduzzi, and also just making sure that, like, Vidovich and Randy Waldrum are taken care of. Those things are important for building a good soccer program, right? So I think having those two teams really great, and not only just good, but like nationally ranked and making college cups, I mean, that's a very big deal. I remember Pitt sports being kind of a joke for the most part outside of football, men's basketball, and for so many programs being so good right now. I mean, if you're a fan of Pitt Athletics, there hasn't been a better time in your lifetime, I think, to be a Pitt fan in terms of the totality of how good all the teams are.
Completely agree. This is, from top to bottom, the best that Pitt Athletics has been, and it's really been incredible, in large part due to the leadership of Heather Like, who either hired a lot of these coaches or, in other cases, she's kept them here. And the fact that you've got coaches like Jay Vidovich and Dan Fisher with volleyball who've turned their programs into top handful of programs in the nation, and they've stayed at Pitt, that speaks a lot to what Heather Like and what the athletic department as a whole has been able to do to not just attract talent, but then also keep them once they're in Pittsburgh. And it's really been impressive. Dominic, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And this is the first, but it's definitely not going to be the last time. You are covering Pitt soccer, men's and women's, for Pittsburgh Sports Now, Pittsburgh Soccer Now. And you really are there constantly. You're up close and personal with this team. Really no better person to talk to or to read when it comes to following Pitt soccer.
Yeah, I'm around. I'll be at almost every men's soccer game this season. So I'll be at a few women's soccer games when I can. Obviously, big season. I got volleyball as well. So it'll be a great Pitt sports season. I don't think this might be the best yet. And last year was great. I mean, we had two Final Four teams last year, Pitt Athletics, and men's basketball became relevant again, and football wasn't as bad as they could have been. So this could be even better. So
yeah,
it's really just getting started though.
It's really amazing. Yeah. The fact that in both cases, men's and women's soccer, they had these incredible results last year, and both of them are expecting and aiming to get better. This isn't, oh, that was the peak and we're not going to be able to achieve that again. That's just another year. This year, we're going to improve on that. And that's the goal. And it's been really incredible to see. Dominic, thank you so much for coming on. You can follow him on Twitter at Dom Is Money. And again, check out his stuff on Pittsburgh Sports Now, Pittsburgh Soccer Now. Again, thank you so much for coming on. We will see you again right here on Olympic Gold and Blue. We will have episodes out midweek throughout the fall talking about Pitt soccer, Pitt volleyball, all these Olympic sports that are doing so well at the University of Pittsburgh. That will do it for this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the Pitt Talk Network wherever you get your podcasts. You will get the podcast as soon as they are out for all the episodes of Olympic Gold and Blue, as well as all the other great shows we have. Again, thank you so much to my guest, Dominic Campbell. Until next time, I'm Corey Cohen, signing off on the Pitt Talk Network.